We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? You are on the Sharks Audio Network, and we are getting ready for San Jose to play host to Vancouver tonight at 7:30 from SAP Center. 7 o'clock pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. I've got two great interviews for you to hear today. First, we are going to talk with Jack Thompson of the San Jose Sharks, and then we are going to hear some of the interview I just did with Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California, of which you'll hear more of tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. Now, here's Jack Thompson. All right, we are here with the San Jose Sharks, Jack Thompson, on a Monday after a few days off before they have three games before the Nations break. What's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. I'm excited for these three games. How do you feel about your game right now? Because you've had to deal with the ups and downs this year, literally between the A and the National.
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, obviously starting the year here was good for my experience and, you know, seeing the league and then getting to go down there and kind of work on the things that I needed to work on. I'm excited to be back here and prove myself again.
How difficult is that? Because, you know, you did your job. You played well when you were up. And then you have to go back to the A. And I don't like the term go down because I still think it's like you're still learning how to play at this professional level. But I don't think that everybody looks at it that way. And I'm sure for you it was probably maybe not an ego blow, but I'm sure there was some disappointment.
Yeah, obviously this is where you want to be. This is where you want to play in the NHL. You grew up wanting to play here. But I knew there were some things in my game that I need to continue to work on and, you know, get a nice time down there that could help me get that experience and get the reps in that I needed.
Yeah, and the Barracuda this year, that's a fun team. There's talented players there. Your coach, Johnny Mack, is a good dude. How much has he been able to teach you about the game?
He's been great. I mean, it's been great working with him, and the D coach there, Louis Mass, is fantastic. I think he's a great coach, and he's helped me a lot even when I got traded last year here to this organization. He's great with me in video and on practice and during the game. So, you know, I'm very grateful to have him on my side.
Yeah, I like his haircut, too. When you look at your game right now, how much do you have to focus on the positive versus the negative? Because I'm sure there's a sense to say, well, this is what I'm still not doing right. But I don't know if your coaching staff is still saying, well, here's what, you know, here's the positive, but here's the negative. This is what you want to focus on. Because in fixing things, sometimes you do have to focus on the positive as opposed to the wrong.
Yeah, I think for me, it's continuing to do the things I do well, continue to do that, and also grow the other side of my game. So yeah. I think for me, it's just continuing to learn and growing my game.
I talked to Craig Button of TSN a while ago, and he talked about, for defensemen, he says the progression level is so much longer compared to a forward. He says that just the responsibilities, the cues, the things that you have to go through, it, I guess, is being patient then the hardest part of this.
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, obviously you want to play every game and you want to play in the NHL the whole time and you want all the ice time in the world, but there is things that, you know, you got to learn through experience and learn through trying it and learning from the coaches we have here and stuff like that. So it's just continuing to be able to be open to learning and getting better.
Warzo was obviously working with the defenseman a year ago. To have him as the head coach with that blue liner background, is that helpful for you?
Yeah, it is. I think, he understands kind of what we're going through back there. And so does Doug Huda, obviously. He's a great coach, been around. So they're both good with us, and, they teach us a lot.
Yeah. What has been your evaluation of your games this year? Like, do you always look at the games where you've had a point or not and say, like, oh, that was a good game versus not a good game?
No, for me, I like to watch my shifts over after every game. And, typically most of the time you don't have a point. Maybe you do have a good game, right? It doesn't really come in correlation sometimes. But, for me, it's just looking back at my shifts and trying to learn stuff from every game. And, I think sometimes even when you have a bad game, you can learn a lot from it. So it's about bouncing back the next game.
When you're watching your shifts, tell me, what are you looking for? Because I think that means something different to every player.
Yeah, for me, I look at things that I could have done, perhaps like watching where your positioning is. And if there was a mistake, what can you do the next time? So it's locked in your head when you go out there for the next shift or the next game, practice even, you can work on stuff like that. So a lot of things, even the good stuff you look at and you remember that might be, like, work more often, so you can try and repeat that.
Does it present itself that way? Like, when you see that one play in film, how often do you find yourself in a very similar situation on the ice?
Yeah, I think there's some situations that you get put in a lot during a game, with breaking pucks out. Right. I feel like, obviously, as a defenseman, we do that pretty much half the game, right? Yeah. So that's something I really like to focus on and that I'm working on to get better.
To be a transporter of the puck, I think everyone sees the, you know, the zone to zone movement when it works well. But when suddenly you're facing a harsh forecheck and you're getting double teamed and you're trying to find an outlet, that's like, I think that's one of the most overlooked aspects of the game for you guys.
It is not easy. It's hard. These guys are obviously structured in the NHL and they're coming at you with full speed, and you know, you got to make quick plays and quick reads. And I think for us, it's continuing to get more predictable and continue to do that.
When they are pinching on you, are you trying to look for that outlet before they pinch? Do you know what's coming, I guess?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of being a defenseman is kind of skating the zones and having a look before you touch the puck, and it'll help you once you get it. I think sometimes it might not be there, so you got to give another look, but mm-hmm. It's good to have a picture in your mind of the ice.
When you're looking at film, have there been times where you're thinking like, oh man, I got bailed out there, and you're thinking to yourself like, that could have been bad? Or are there other times where you're thinking like, hey, that actually worked out pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, when you're watching film, sometimes, you know, you might make the right play and it might not work out, or you make the bad play and it does work out. So you kind of got to look through it all and, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
I think that's the hard part about sports, though, is you can make all the right decisions and still come out with the wrong result.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the other team's getting paid to play as well, right?
Right.
So they're good players and it's not always going to work out, but as long as you're on the positive side, I think you're doing something good.
Yeah, and I mean, staying positive, I feel like as an athlete, you probably have to deal with the losses. I'm sure any loss your entire career, you haven't liked it. Most professional athletes don't care for losing, but you've got to be able to forget about it and move on. Like, I've talked to people who have said, you know, Ted, you talk about the team being really positive in practice. And I'm like, well, yeah, they are. But they, you know, the team lost. I'm like, they're good at forgetting about it. Like, that's like the move on factor, I feel, is something that's maybe underrated with you guys.
I think it is important, too. If you do have a bad game or the team loses or something like that, and you carry it over to practice or the next game, it's not good for anything. So the quicker you can forget about it, I think it's good. I think, you know, regroup, and even sometimes the positive things, you don't want to get too high, too low.
Right.
Cliche to say, but, you know, it's something that I think a lot of people teach.
Does Ferraro keep the room pretty light? Like, I imagine he's probably not happy if guys are walking around looking gloomy, right?
Yeah, no, he's the energy for us. And, you know, he comes to the rink every day with a good mindset and, you know, he rubs off on a lot of guys.
Yeah. How is it having so many other young guys on the team for you? Like, I figure, like, if you're like the lone young guy coming into a team of established veterans, that's probably more difficult, whereas there's more guys your age here.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of young guys here. And, you know, I think our goal is to grow together here and continue to be a San Jose Shark and, you know, kind of grow together. And it's been great to have them, you know, bouncing questions off other guys or stuff like that. I mean, it's a good balance of young and old, and we all get along here, so it's amazing.
How hard is it dealing with the trade deadline? I mean, obviously McKenzie got moved back in December, and you know, over the weekend you see a defenseman and Cody Ceci get moved, Mikhail Granlin. I mean, I know that, you know, you've been playing with two teams, but at the same time, like, all these guys, you spend a lot of time with them. Like, they're not just teammates, they become friends.
Yeah, like you said, it's tough to see guys go. I mean, Ceci was really good for me, you know. He's been around forever and played defense in this league. And he was always there for me if I needed something, a question, or just to talk in the room on the bench.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal with me. You know, took me out for dinner on the road and stuff. So it's tough to see him go, but you know, I'm sure he's got a great opportunity there.
How weird is it to try and go up to a veteran, a guy who, like, Cody was in game 7 last year, you know, like, he went all the way as far as you can go, and just saying like, hey, like, I have a question. Like, is that intimidating to go to a veteran, especially earlier in the year when you maybe didn't know these guys as well?
Yeah, I think maybe you'd think it was, but these guys are so personable and so good with the young guys that, you know, they almost come up to you and ask questions or something like that. So you get really comfortable really quick in a locker room, and you know, it's amazing.
What's the type of question that you would ask if you're comfortable sharing? Because I don't know what the question would be, because it's not like you're going to ask about your assignment on a specific zone, because I imagine you know that, but it's probably something that I'm not even thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, it can vary. Sometimes it's not even about hockey, but if it is about hockey, you know, maybe I had a shift and I saw something that I didn't quite, you know, pick up on or something, you know, having to come back to the bench and ask a guy who's played 800, 900 games in this league is a pretty good guy to ask. So
right.
He's seen probably every situation in the game, so just getting the opportunity to bounce an idea off him or see what he saw in that play.
How different would it be that they saw it versus what you saw?
Usually it's pretty similar. Usually, you know, sometimes from the bench you can see it a little different than being out there in the heat of the game. So just trying to bounce it off each other and, you know, pick up things as you go.
I think that's the interesting thing for me, though, is that when I'm watching a game in person versus then when I go and look at the film, it presents very differently. It's like, because the view is different, you know, the angle is different. How hard is that for you to be like, oh, it didn't look like that on the ice?
Yeah, I think that's what they say. They always say the game's easier on film or in the press box when you're actually out there. You know, things happen pretty quick, and you got to make quick reads. So that's why it is nice, and that's why I do watch video and ask questions with people, because they see it, you know, differently from up there. And yeah, they're in the heat. Sometimes it's hard to see.
Yeah, Scotty Hannon told me the quote. He said, the further away you get from the ice, the easier the game looks. And I was like, oof, that's good. I was like, now, that's my view up in the press box. But even the press box is still not the exact same way that the camera tracks it, because you go back and you look at the film and you're like, well, that's not how it looked in person. Is that film, is there, as a professional, is there just more and more film that takes its maybe emphasis on what you're doing game to game?
For sure. I mean, film, I watch my own shifts at home, and then you come to the rink, and our coaches have film that they've put together for learning purposes or positive things to build for the next game. So I think a lot of this day and age is film and learning from that. So it's I think it's a nice tool for us to have, for sure.
Yeah, and I would also imagine that, you know, you go back and you see the film, that repetition of looking at things, it also probably helps slow the game down a little bit more.
Yeah, it does, for sure. I mean, when you're watching it on film, you pick up on things, like I said, and you can bring it into your next games, and you kind of know what's going to happen in a certain situation. So it's nice.
What have the coaches said to you about these next three games and your responsibilities?
Not too much yet. I think just, you know, continuing to play my game and go out there and play hard. And I think, you know, as we keep going on, they'll talk a little with me more about what they need, but it's just continuing to play.
It feels like your game has continued to grow from the outside. You know, obviously you can't go game to game, that's not fair, but I feel like week to week, month to month, over the course of this season, your game has progressed. Does that track with you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think every game I'm getting more confident and, you know, learning new things. So I think continuing to grow, you know, week to week, like you said, game to game, even practice to practice, it's important for me to have good practices and you know, continue to work.
Jamie Baker, former San Jose Shark, and, you know, now he's working in Canada, but he always told me that the most overlooked aspect of the season was the practice. He said, and especially when those practices can't come as consistently during the grind of the season, he's like, you really start to notice it when you do get a practice, because you walk away with that much more information. Does that hold true for you?
For sure. I mean, definitely as a young guy too, like, I think practices for me are big, you know, continuing, you can show things in practice too, to the coaches to earn more ice time and stuff like that. So trying to always be engaged and working hard and, you know, also having fun out there.
Nice. And then when you are having fun away from the rink, obviously, what are you doing when you're not here?
Depends on the day. If, you know, I like to golf, so if there's an opportunity that presents itself to be able to golf, I think that's something I'd love to do. And sometimes, you know, you just gotta chill and rest at home, and it's a long season, and, you know, sometimes it's nice to just get away from the rink and, you know, maybe watch a TV show or something like that.
Macklin just said he golf as well. Have you golfed with him yet?
Yeah, we were lucky enough to go out to Monterey. I think it was last week. So me, him, and Smitty got out there. So it was great.
Who won?
I think Smitty won that day. Yeah. I think Smitty, and then me, and then I think Mac had a bit of
I always look at, I know they say that the golf swing and the hockey shot are very similar, but I always think the guys who, like, Will's got the baseball background. So I think if he can, like, work that balance into it, because he's got a good jump shot, according to Macklin as well. And I always feel like baseball swing is so balanced. If you can just work that, but in a downward motion, it probably helps golf a lot.
Yeah, he hits the ball a long ways.
Does he?
Yeah, he hits it pretty far. He's got a nice swing. So, you know, I'm looking forward to continuing to battle him on the golf course.
Is your game more about your short game and on the greens, or?
I think I'm an all-around golfer. I don't think I got one suit that sticks out, but my putting's got to improve a little bit, I think.
Nice. Well, all right, man, I'll let you go. I appreciate your time. We'll talk soon, all right?
Yeah, thank you.
Again, that is Jack Thompson. And now I'm going to bring in Alan Hoshida, the host of NBC Sports California Sharks pre- and post-game live. Alan, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Not much. We're just getting ready for game 2 of 3 this week. Hopefully Sharks can figure out a couple dubs before the All-Star break, excuse me, for Nation.
I know, I've said it so many times.
Well, and then also was informed that there's no freeze during that time, and I understand there's no freeze, but basically there's going to be a freeze for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's not going to be very much going on, and we'll be looking for storylines to talk about. I think the NBA has kind of won the battle for the weeks before the Super Bowl. Hockey is going to have to try real hard to figure out if they can do something like that when they go into their little bit of a down period. You know, just thinking about how a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the three-way trade with Chicago and Carolina and the Avs being one of the biggest trades in, you know, the history of the NHL, maybe since Jumbo. I always find it interesting how people with, you know, the reaction to that trade and watching what just happened in the NBA, as much as we love the actual games themselves, Alan, it's really cool to see the way people react when something that has nothing to do with what's on the floor can just change the entire discussion and landscape and, you know, total paradigm of how we look at a league. Not that I need you to break down what Luka Doncic and his lack of defense is going to do for the Lakers, but I mean, you know, big trades, be it 20 years ago with Jumbo or what we saw, you know, just recently go down to the NHL and the NBA, it still can dominate the discussion in a way that almost anything but a championship matchup can do.
Well, and I also think at this point of the year, fans are starved for something because they're, you know, the monotony of game every other day, there's a game. And so when something like that happens, it gives a fuel to the fire. It sparks something and fans want to talk about it. I think as much of fandom is around the games and what happens, the X's and O's and the wins and the losses, the offseason, the trades, the roster makeup, all the other stuff is just as important. Like I equate it to, because now I'm a big wrestling guy now, as you know, it's like, you know, the promos and the storylines, and those are almost as important, if not more important, than the actual wrestling that takes place. And in some ways, that's how just most major sports are, is that the games are the games and everyone's going to be tuned into it. But it's what happens around your team that don't actually impact the game that day, mm-hmm. but set up things down the line. Like those are super fun and super interesting, and, you know, and the ramifications, like the trade thing that you like to do and I like to do is, okay, let's look at the trade tree and trace it back. Sorry, I'm still learning how to speak today. We're going to figure it out.
Okay, it's not like you have an infant child in your life or anything.
No, but trace it all the way back, like 3 years from now. Now we're going to look back in at that trade of the Avs, Carolina, and Chicago, because there was an interesting tidbit about that, is that Chicago went back and got their third round pick, which means if you own your own third round pick, you can now offer sheet that. Yeah. Because if you don't have it, you can't do an offer sheet. So that's another interesting point of that trade, is that they went and got their own third round pick, and you only do that if maybe you have a plan for it. And so there's a lot of moving things around it. And I think that's what really is intriguing, because you don't know for sure what is going to happen. And then also, someone also floated, I think it was on 32 Thoughts, that, well, if Carolina can't get Rantanen to sign on the deal before the trade deadline, why not just trade him again?
That's not a bad point. You know what annoyed me about Saturday night's mind-blowing news out of the NBA is that was the same day of the Mykhail Granlund-Cody Ceci trade, which was generating a lot of discussion. People, you know, if you're an NHL fan or NHL adjacent, you're saying, wow, Dallas just, you know, maybe got their replacement for Pavelski. They brought in more defensive depth. That makes them more dangerous. And that was getting a lot of talk. And I was like, oh, this will be interesting to see how this leads us through the rest of the weekend. And then boom, just the NBA, just get out of here. We're going to talk about this now. And I was like, oh, come on.
But, you know, it's funny, because I was like, oh, why is the NHL trade deadline so late? And I there's multiple reasons, and this isn't the reason, but maybe it is the reason, because the NBA trade deadline is now, is today, and I think it just passed or is about to pass as we're speaking. So maybe the NHL is like, well, we want to create headlines, and if we're going head-to-head with the NBA trade deadline, we're always going to have the NFL offseason. You're not going to be able to conquer that giant. Yeah. So maybe if we move it back a couple weeks, we'll have the show for a little bit. You don't know, and I don't think that's the real reason. I think it's more about parity and keeping more teams in it for the long haul, but it doesn't hurt.
That is Alan Hoshida, the host of Sharks Pre and Post Game Live on NBC Sports California. I'll be with him tonight as the Sharks play host to the Vancouver Canucks, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning for Morning Tide to hear more of that interview with Alan, and of course, we'll have a look back, as always, at the game against Vancouver, but we are just about out of time. 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 go time, right here on the Sharks Audio Network as they take on the Canucks of Vancouver. I will see you all tomorrow morning for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
Barkley Goodrow's back in his own zone for the Sharks. Barkley pushes it ahead. Here's Common grab gathering. It moves down the left wing, moves into the zone, shoots, score! Puts the puck into the net and the youngster gets his first National Hockey League goal.